just before, I just really just sense the Spirit of God here this morning, and I just really feel that this morning that God is going to encourage some people. But also, just in the area of spiritual gifts, I feel that, just as I was sitting there, I feel like God wants to stir the spiritual gifts up that are within you. You know, we all have spiritual gifts, and when we stir those gifts up, then we can step out and move and operate and affect and influence people around about us, whether it's through prophecy, just speaking a word from God to someone, whether it be a word of knowledge, just bringing that word to a person that will just change their situation. May it be the gift of healings, just going and laying your hands on someone and seeing them recover. God just wants to stir us. Because the title of my message this morning is There Is More. There is more. So there is more. God has so much more for us. So much more for us. And I just before I just start, I'd just like to honor our senior pastors, Pastor Stephen and Anami. They're such a blessing, such a hunger for God. And I just love them dearly. And if you didn't listen to Pastor Helen's message last week on hope, you need to. It's really encouraging. And if you haven't got hope at the moment, listen to that message because it'll give you really good hope. It will stir you to hope more and trust more. So there is more. I've been waiting on Lord, and I had a few different ideas floating around, but it kept coming back to these words, really. There is more. There is more. In John 10:10, we know the scripture well, but it says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." So God wants us to have an abundant life. And if I'm going to have an abundant life, well, then I need to draw closer to Him. I need more of Him in my life if I'm going to be more abundant, if I'm going to show more of Him, if I'm going to step out more and do things for Him. It has to come out of an abundance within my own heart. So if I'm being robbed from, and you know, and stealed from, and killed from, well, I need to come back to Jesus, and I need to get in and find the life that He has for me. So Jesus filled you with His Holy Spirit so that you would experience the more for which you were created for. Jesus filled you with the Holy Spirit so that you would experience more. In Ephesians 3:20, and this is the Amplified Version, it says, "Now to Him who is able," and then break, "carry out His purpose, do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to His power that is at work within us." So God can do superabundantly more than we could even ask or imagine. It's with the work that He will do and His power that it works within us, His power working within us. So we were made for more. We're made for more. You know, it's so easy, and really with my first point this morning is plateau, and I've just felt God drop this word I was praying on Friday morning and I just had this word plateau just came. And I thought plateau, I sort of roughly knew what a plateau was. But I looked it up in the dictionary and it says, a state of little or no change following a period of activity or progress. And I think as Christians, it's so easy to be active for a season, and then it's like we feel we reach this plateau type stage where we just plateau, and everything around us just becomes mundane. Going to church becomes a chore. Praying becomes a chore. And just life becomes a chore. We get comfortable. I've jotted down a few things. So there's a little state of little change or no change following a period of activity or progress. As Christians, we can't afford to plateau, relax, and think we've made it or think we've done our bit. And so I think I've done my bit. I've served for a couple of years. I've done my bit. And God always wants us to keep growing, to keep increasing. He doesn't want us to plateau. You know, when we think we've done our bit, I know for me, for sometimes when I've come into these times where I've plateaued, it's been like I've been really either seeking God or I've had a breakthrough, or suddenly that something that I was really struggling with, I'm now free from, and it feels like, oh, that's it. Great. It's like, oh, I can relax again. I can relax again. And when I relax, well, what happens is I tend to plateau. You know, the flesh gets involved. Well, you can relax a bit more now. You don't need to pray as much now. Watch some more TV. You know, and then you find, oh gosh, why am I finding feeling like I'm slipping back? I don't have the hunger like I used to have. As Christians, we always have to be moving, have to be advancing. God always is drawing us closer to Him. I mean, He doesn't force us. It's our choice. When we plateau, we make ourselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. When we plateau, we don't pray as much, seek God as much, read His Word as much, and tend to miss church a little more. We have no real desire for more. And sometimes it needs someone to come along and just stir us up and say there is more, that God has more for you, that God hasn't finished with you. It may be that you're older and you feel like you had some dreams, God gave you some dreams, or you had a vision, and it never really worked out. And you've gone through your life, you've done your best, but you feel really that this is, well, I'm finished. You know, I don't think God has got any more. But I just want to tell you this morning that God has more. God has more, and He hasn't finished. He has a destiny for each one of us to fulfill. We're doing the study in Revelation in our Connect group. And I just thought this was a timely, just as I was thinking of it, as I was putting some notes down, I just thought of this church, and this is the church in Pergamos, and it was from AD 33 to 312 AD, Christians were being martyred and persecuted, but the church continued to grow. So in the midst, I don't know how many Christians got slaughtered between AD 33, after Christ had gone, really from where the book of Acts started, right through to AD 312. Christians were being martyred, they were being slaughtered, just horrendous stuff. But the church continued to grow. Maybe it was because there was an opposition that they had to press into God. They had to seek God. Anyway, what happened, Constantine, the ruling emperor, ruling Roman emperor at the time, he had a vision. I don't know where the vision was from. He had a vision of a cross, and he heard the words conquer. Anyway, what happened was he ended up mandating that everyone was required to be a Christian, and that the church, everyone had to go to church. You'd think that would be great. And it became very easy for Christians to live their lives. There was no longer any persecution. But then the church plateaued. And when the church plateaued, what it did was it adopted worldly ideas and practices, worldly ideas and practices. It became religious, and then it lost its effectiveness. And that's so easy when we get away from coming to church or reading our Bible and listening to too many things that are coming from the world, that they can influence us. And when they do, we lose our fire, and generally when Christians lose their fire, they become religious. They lose because they lose their relationship. You know, well, they have their relationship with Christ. When you obviously receive Christ, you have that relationship, but it's not at the forefront of where it should really be in your life. So we need to be on fire. We need to desire more for God to move within our lives. My next point is divine discontent. There's been numbers of times where I've just been discontent of where I'm at. Discontent of how I feel my prayers going, how my walk's going with God, or what I'm seeing around about me. In Psalms 42, verse 7, and this is the English Standard Version, it says, "Deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. The Holy Spirit within the depth of you is calling out to the deep of God, and deep calls to deep." So something on within the inside of us will want to cry out for more. You know, there's a yearning, or there's a in our belly, the Holy Spirit crying out to God. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 11, it says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of a man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So deep inside you, the Spirit of God is calling you to explore the depths of the Father's person, presence, and power. The call for more of God becomes to be more in, out of the shallows and into the depths. Coming out of the shallows and come into the depths. I don't know about you, but I need more fruitfulness in my life, more influence, more love, more compassion, more wisdom, more of his presence. The cry for more of God is God-given, God-breathed, God-powered. He created you for more. He created you for more. In John 14, 12, and I've quoted this a number of times without really probably thinking a lot about what it really says, but Jesus was talking to his disciples here, and he said, "Most assuredly, I'd say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." And quite often I would think, well, I'm going to do the greater works and I'm going to do more miracles. There's going to be more miracles than what Jesus did. I want to see more miracles than what Jesus did. And I was thinking that there's going to be greater miracles, but really there won't be any greater miracles, because what's greater than walking on the water? What's greater than feeding 5,000 people with two loaves and five fish? The greater works is that Jesus would bring his body together, his church, and they would go out into the marketplace and do those works. So what Jesus could do with just one person, if the church all came together and we went out and started doing those works, would be the greater works. The greater works would see the church motivated, the church moving. And I really believe that in the times that we're living in and the days that we're in at the moment, that God is stirring his church, motivating his church, and saying to his church that there is more. There is more. And God wants to use us in ways that we probably don't even imagine. And that's why that I just felt that earlier on about just stirring up those giftings within you. Because as you do that, you're going to be far more effective out in the marketplace. But it's like at this time, I think God is just drawing his church. He's wanting to draw his church to himself more. And I feel that, you know, I've heard people say, well, we don't see miracles these days. Well, I believe that God is going to pour out the miraculous in a powerful way in these days, that people aren't going to deny what they see. And where we don't see people coming out of wheelchairs or blind people seeing, I believe we're going to see that in these days. So the church, but we have to be involved. I mean, he's not going to do it himself. He's going to pour his spirit out on his church. And we have to be available. We have to desire it. We have to want it for God to use us. Thank you. My last point or last part. Less is more. You know, there was a song I think Don Moen wrote a number of years back that was "More of You and Less of Me." More of you and less of me. You know, I've prayed that prayer lots of times. More of you, God, less of me. More of you, less of me. But when God sort of really starts to really challenge me that he wants some more, it's a bit of a struggle sometimes to let things go that I've got taken hold of, that are close to me. But sometimes, if we let things go, it's amazing what God can do in our lives. So less is more. The more I lay down my own plans, my own desires, which is really surrender, I'll gain more of God. Sometimes we wonder why I don't have much of the presence of God in my life, or I don't seem to sense him. Or I'd say, well, maybe you just need to surrender some more of you. Surrender. When Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done," he surrendered his will to the Father. And through his sacrifice, he opened the door for all to come into the kingdom of God. So what could he do through you or me if we're prepared to surrender at all? It's a challenge. And we admittedly, we're all growing. We're all at different stages. But I just want to encourage you, because this is what the service is all about, encouragement, to encourage you. In Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." The pursuit for more is constrained with the pursuit of Christ is a partnership with God. When Christ is our destination, we can rest in his grace as he draws us to himself. When I'm trying to do it myself, and I've done this many a time, oh, I've just got to do more. I've just got to do more, and it becomes all about myself. I've just got to read the Bible more. I've just got to pray more. I've just got to do this more. It becomes myself as the center part, and my seeking is really coming from a works perspective. A works perspective. When I'm not in partnership with Christ, grace becomes works, rest becomes striving, and faith becomes fear. Sometimes it's not about doing more, it's about resting more. Resting more. Resting in his presence. And I think finally I'm starting to get it. That God doesn't want me to do a whole lot of things for the sake of doing a whole lot of things. He wants me to come and sit with him. He wants me to come and rest in him. He wants me to come and just meditate on his word. He wants me to come and talk with him. He doesn't want me to be, oh, I've got to get this done. And then I feel condemned, because that's how the devil does it. When we can't measure up, when we can't pray that, oh, I didn't pray today. Oh man, that's put me back another week. You know, that's how the devil tries to drive us doing that. But if we rest in him, rest in God, you'll get far more revelation. You'll start to hear God in a way that perhaps you haven't before. So my conclusion is, if the band would come, ask for more. And I'm just going to read out Ephesians. So ask for more. The pursuit for more must be fully conditioned by prayer. Ephesians 3, 14 and 12 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen."